Well, we get an opportunity to get back into God's Word today. I hope that we will be challenged by God's Word, and pray that we'll be challenged by God's Word, as I hope we are every week. We'll be back in Genesis again today, Genesis 1. We'll start off with the passage that we read last week that started off this whole series, and then we'll jump into Scripture quite a bit today, actually, many different passages throughout the entire Bible, and so I encourage you to maybe take some notes. Most of the passages, almost all of them, will be behind me, and so you can read along with me. If you want to try to keep up and do a Bible drill, feel free to and flip in between, but I encourage you, write them down, go back home, read through them later on. It's just a great way to be refreshed and reminded of what God has challenged us with today. Genesis 1, starting in verse 26, reading through verse 28, talking about being made in the image of God, this idea of being an image bearer that we talked about last week. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, we read this. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." Let's pray together. Lord, please guide us through your word. Lord, guide my mouth, Lord, as I proclaim your words today. Lord, that you will receive glory and honor. Lord, that you will challenge us. Lord, that we will leave here changed by you. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, convict us in areas that we need to change and adjust to follow you. Lord, I thank you for the honor just to come and proclaim your word today. And I pray that we will have minds that are ready to receive it and hearts that are ready to respond to it. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, last week we started this series called Image, talking about being made to be image bearers of God in this world. How are we showing God to our family, to our spouses, to our friends, to the people that we work with, to our neighbors around us, the world? We have been made in the image of God. God has passed on to us attributes of himself. We talked about they were called communicable attributes last week. And some of the attributes that we looked at that we have because God is that we create because God is the creator. We seek relationships because God is relational. We are spiritual because God is spirit. We communicate because God communicates. We are morally responsible because God is moral. We love because God is. We show grace because of the grace that we know from God. We want justice because God is just. We can gain wisdom and have some wisdom because God is all wise. And we are intelligent because God is all knowing. Those are a few that we went around last week and talked about. And so this begs the question to me and to you, how are we doing at bearing this image to those around us? Do we live this image in our families, in our churches, in our friendships, in all our relationships? Do we care to bear the image of our King to those around us? And as I started thinking about this week and was going over where to go from here, in this idea of bearing God's image to the world around us and to our personal relationships that we have, question came up of why they're God's image. What's the importance of being an image bearer in this world? I mean, we all humanity bear the image of God just by because we are his creation. But why would I even desire to bear God's image in a greater way than the rest of the world does? Why go that step? I mean, it's a lot harder to do that. It takes a lot more dedication to do that. It's a lot easier just to live like the world or to go back and forth and live like whoever were around at that time. So why would I desire to bear God's image or to seek to bear God's image more and more and more each day of my life? That's a great question you ask. I'm glad you asked that. We're going to get into that today. But I want to talk about, as we begin, I want to jump over to Romans for a second, just talk about this idea that we all bear God's image in a little bit of a greater way today, going a little bit deeper into that. Every single one of us is an image bearer. James 3, verse 9 talks about our tongue and how we talk to people. And it says, we praise God, and then we also curse man who is made in the image of God with the same mouth. How can this be? And so James points out that every single man is made in the image of God. We are all image bearers. And then in Romans here, Romans 1, verse 18 through 25, We look at these attributes of God being made known to man. Every single one of us knows about God. He has revealed it in all of creation. We are part of that creation. We are made in his image. And so we read this in Romans 1, verses 18 through 25. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident among them. What we can know about God is already evident all around us, and in fact, it is also evident in us because we are made in God's image. Going on. Because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. His invisible attributes are known by and through what he has made. He made us. We are created in his image. As a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over in the cravings of their heart to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. God has made himself known to this world. Every single person bears God's image, his attributes. His creation bears his attributes. When we look around and we see the truth of God in this world today, there's only two choices to make. We either respond to God and worship him and glorify him, or, like this passage says, we make things in man's image and pursue things of this world as God. He's either God for this world and the things he has created have become God alone. And so these images that he has, these attributes he has placed in us as we bear his image should then point us to him. Every single one of us has them. So that goes back to the question, if every single person has those, why would I want to even more follow after him? Well, we have this choice laid out here within this passage of following the world and worshiping the world or glorifying God and worshiping him. We have this here in Romans 1 and the different choices people are making. But as a believer, I have the call to bear his image. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 says this, and talking about God's holy, how holy he is, it says, as obedient children, so as believers, those who say that Christ is their Savior, who say Christ is their Lord, who call God their Father, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. And so, don't be like you used to be. Don't follow the world like you used to follow them and follow after the things of this world. But as one who called you is holy, as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So this is the call for us as believers to bear his image, to be like God in our conduct, to be holy because he is holy, not conformed to how we used to live, but transformed by Christ to follow after him, to bear his image in the world. This is our call. So why would I want to go beyond just the initial image bearing that every single person does? Because it's my call to do this. Yes, it is a lot easier to be a camo liver, where you live one way, camouflaged this way like the world, and then in the other direction when you're in the church, you live like God, and then you go back into the world and you live like the world, and then you go into your workplace and you live like your workplace. It's a lot easier to be a camo living person. Much easier. Or it's much easier just to live like the world and be accepted by the world. That's simple. It's happening everywhere we go. But our call as believers is to be holy because God is holy. To bear his image to the world. And so as we understand his holiness, as we understand his love, as we understand the different attributes of God, we are then called to reflect those to the world so that they can have a greater understanding of God. But we don't get to the point where we want to bear God's image until reality sets in. See, that's how we kind of work in life. We don't respond, or we're not moved to respond in life until we're moved by the reality. I'll give you an example. I hate mowing lawns. I would really like to have AstroTurf. It'd be great. One time as a teenager, I went and visited my uncle in New Mexico. And as we pulled up into his house, there was absolutely no grass in the front yard. It was just rocks and mulch and things like that because they couldn't really grow grass in that area. And I said to myself, I want to live in New Mexico. Sounds good. I hate mowing my lawn. So I do it as little as possible. But there is a reality that sets in that my neighbors just mowed their lawn. And my other neighbor just scalped their lawn. And so now I have to be moved by the reality that my lawn looks like the Amazon rainforest. And I need to mow, right? I am moved by the reality. You don't clean something usually until you realize how dusty or dirty or smelly it may be. You are moved by the reality of that stench or that dirt or that dust to then clean. That's the reality. I'm not a doctor person. I hate going to the doctor also. I've never enjoyed going to the doctor at all. And I'm not scared of the doctor. I just don't like to sit in the waiting room for 45 minutes before I just sit in the office for 45 minutes and then waste an hour and a half of my day just to tell me that I need medicine. I know that. I could just go to the pharmacist and say, I need medicine. Thank you. But the reality is sometimes I cannot get the medicine I need unless I go to the doctor. And so the reality of my sickness of I am not getting any better sets in, so I am moved to respond by going to the doctor. That's how we are. So what realities need to set into our life for us to respond by this holy living we are called to? I want to talk about four realities of God today and realities of the world that we live in today that should then challenge us and move us to respond to God's call to bear his image in this world in a greater and greater way each and every day. First of all, we should be purposed to bear God's image, realizing that we were created to do this very thing. We were created to bear the image of God to this world. Realizing it is our purpose to do so will then propel us to do so and move us to do so. When something works for its purpose, it's a great thing. It's amazing what happens when something is used the right way. When Rachel and I were on our honeymoon, we got rear-ended on a four-lane road. Nobody was around other than the person coming up a hill behind us, and we looked back and saw this person just coming and coming and coming, 45, 50 miles an hour, and not slowing down. And so I hit my gas to try to move forward enough to not be hit, and she rear-ended us, and then I shot across two lanes of traffic, swerved in between cars and into a ditch. And as this happened, it was a great way to cut your honeymoon short. We were in Pennsylvania in the mountains, and the lady's response was, there was a bug in my car. Okay. So we went to the doctor because both of us, Rachel in particular, her neck hurt, and so we went to the doctor in the hospital, and they said that she probably just had a little sprain. She'd be okay after a little while. And so we went back to our hotel, and we had made plans that we were going to drive from the Pocono Mountains to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then we were going to go from Hershey to Pittsburgh, and then we were going to go back home. And after we got back to our room, we were like, you know what, we don't want to spend the next 3 days in pain, like driving around with a beat-up car. Let's just load up and we'll go home. And so we loaded up, and I went to talk to the guy at the office, and I think he literally had one of those hairdos that you see in one of those bad movies where the guy that you walk in to talk to has like a swan made out of his hair, and it's like pointed in the middle, and he's got wings. He kind of had that whole swan hairdo going on, and so I walked up, and I said, hey, you know what, we've got to leave 3 days early. Is there any way we can get money back? We got rear-ended, and he's like, no, sorry, I got a pick of a swan in my head. I don't know. And so we couldn't get any money back, so we drove home. And as we were driving about 2 hours away, we got a phone call from the hospital, and they said, hey, you need to go to the closest hospital you can. Rachel has a fracture in her neck. And so we're freaking out, and we're already 2 hours away from the hospital where we're at, and so we're like, let's just get to a hospital. And so we went to a hospital, I have no idea where, we just looked up a hospital, found one, it was 2 hours from the Pocono Mountains, and we went in, and they did an x-ray, and the guy said, I don't know what they were looking at, there's no fracture in your neck, but you definitely have really bad whiplash, I'm going to put a neck brace on you. So he put a neck brace on Rachel, and we proceeded to then travel home after that night. Well, we got all the way home, and Rachel's like, this is the most uncomfortable neck brace I've ever worn in my entire life. Not that she wears a lot of neck braces, I don't know. But this was like miserably uncomfortable, like rubbing her chin raw, and just very uncomfortable. And we started looking at her brother came over and looked at her and goes, it's on upside down. Like, totally upside down. And so we flipped it around and put it back on. She's like, amazing. Something working the way it's supposed to work. It was purposed to wear a certain direction. It wasn't one of those foam, like, nice neck braces. And it wasn't one of those dog collar things like that, you know, the cones. It was a hard neck brace that you put on and then you kind of cranked it to tighten it. And it was on upside down for like 10 hours in the car. It was miserable because it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing, the way it was made to do it. We have been made to bear God's image, and we will not fully be happy, be joyful, feel like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing unless we are indeed bearing His image to this world. Genesis 1:27, we've already read that today. For God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Every single one of us were created in God's image to bear God's image to the world. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 7 and 10 through 11 go through this, talking through in particular to the Israelites, but then to all people, as it says later on. But let's read this. It says, now, this is what the Lord says. The one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I'll be with you. And when you pass through the waters and when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. Do not fear, verse 5, for I am with you. I'll bring your descendants from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from far away, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Get this, everyone called by my name. Every single one of us is called by his name, whether Israelite or Gentile. All of us called by his name. And created for what? For my glory. I have formed him. Indeed, I have made him. And here's the purpose in verse 10. You are my witnesses. This is the Lord's declaration. In my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. No God was formed before me, and there will be none after me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other Savior but see, we have been formed for a purpose. We have been called His by name for a purpose. It's for His glory, to be His witnesses to this world around us. How do we witness for Him? We bear His image to those around Him and proclaim Him to those around us. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they will see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. How is God receiving glory in that passage? By our actions, by our works, by how we live out His image in this world around us. So, are we going to live the way we were made to live? The way we were purposed to live? Will we be purposed to bear God's image in this world? Second reality of God that when sets in will change the way we want to live for Him is, are we moved to bear God's image because of his love for us? Do we understand his amazing love for us? Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2 says, therefore, be imitators, got that? Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Because of we are loved children, we are to imitate God to this world. And walk in love, as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. We are called to not only imitate God because of his love, we are then called to walk in that love like the Messiah has loved us, like Christ has loved us. John 13, 34 and 35 says, Jesus speaking here to the disciples and to us, saying, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So how are we responding to that love? Have we started to then show God's love to those around us? I mean, think about the examples of Christ loving the unloved. With Zacchaeus, who was hated by so many because he had stolen and robbed as a tax collector, Jesus came and he loved him. He called him out of the tree. He went and ate with him. And this was his response to the unloved. Zacchaeus' life was changed by love. The Samaritan woman, the one who went to the well because she wanted to go at a time in the afternoon when no one would be around because of the judgment of those around her, because of her lifestyle and what she had fallen into. And Christ came and he loved her. And he held out love for her. And then he told her then to go change her life, go and sin no more, not to remain in the way she was living. And so Christ's love for us then should propel us to change and to bear that love to those around us. Are we driven by his love? Are we moved by his love? Then, are we driven to bear by his sacrifice? See, the reality of Christ's sacrifice, when that sets in, that should move us to bear his image today. You recall 1 Peter 2:21-24, for you were called to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. This was an example that Christ set for us. An example of something that is to be followed by our lives, so that you should follow in his steps, the very next words. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile. When he was suffering, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, so that, having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. You have been healed by his wounds. I saw a shirt the other day. Every once in a while, I've cut back on my Facebooking totally, basically, to like once every 3 weeks. And so I went on the other day to check out, I had a message on it, since somebody had said something or tried to post something on my site, so I had to go on after I did. And so I went on and I was looking at a few posts, and I saw this post, and there was a shirt. And the shirt said this, and it was pretty fitting because talking about image and getting into this new year where a lot of people are thinking about image and how they look. And the shirt said, you may not think I'm much to look at, but Jesus thinks I'd die for it. And I thought it was kind of a cool shirt. But the reality is that's the reality. Christ loved you enough that he died for you. And you may have the children's book version of the cross where you think it's Jesus on the cross with absolutely no blood and he's smiling. You may see that picture in your mind, the precious moments version of the cross. But the reality is the cross was very, very, very painful for you and for me. And I don't think the reality of that even set in until I actually watched The Passion of the Christ many years ago and saw just how really disgusting the whole process was of crucifixion and what Christ went through for us. And that brought a new reality to, man, look at the pain that he suffered through for me. And when that sets in, the example sets in, we should then pursue righteousness because he shed his body, his blood, died on the tree for us, as verse 24 says. He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree. Not only did he take that punishment, but he did it for you and for me. That's our punishment that we deserve for our sin. And when that reality sets in, then I want to pursue following him, bearing his image in this world today, so that others may know him. Before. Reality that when we realize this, he should pursue us to bear his image in this world, and this is the last one. We should be burdened to bear his image. Because this was Christ's burden, and those around us are dying not knowing Christ. Jesus himself said that he came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This was his burden. We were his burden. We were the lost. Matthew 9, 35 through 38 talks about when Christ came into the villages and he was teaching them. And he calls us to pray for workers and to, in my thinking, be workers. That's what the Bible teaches. Then Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. This is what Christ did. This was his passion. Then he saw the crowds. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. We should be those workers, bearing his image in the harvest fields around us, in the world around us. So how do we grow in this passion for the lost? How do we grow in the passion for the dying that are all around us? Well, it starts with spending time with Christ. Think about the disciples. That was his original call to disciples when he called them. And he says, "I follow me, and I will make you fishers for people." When he called them, He indicated that this would be a process in their life. When in Matthew 4:19 he says, follow me, he told them, and I will make you fishers of people. He didn't say to them, follow me because you are already fishers of people. He didn't say to them, follow me and you will be fishers of people right this instant. There was a process that they would be made into fishers for people. This would become their passion in life because they were so close with Christ, they were following him step by step, attitude by attitude, learning from him to follow him, that they would then do what he did. He was a fisher. He came to reach the lost all around him. You see, when the disciples, not instantly, became fishers for people, but over a time grew in their knowledge, grew in their understanding, grew in their love for their Lord, grew to understand that he had indeed come for them to pay the price for their sin, and he was their only hope, not following the law that the rest of the Israelites followed, but following Christ alone as their only hope. When they realized that, then their lives started to change, then their boldness started to change, and they became more and more like Christ, following him to the point where this was said about the disciples. In Acts 4:13, it says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men. So they were uneducated and untrained, but this was true of them. They were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. That's how they became bold. That's how they became fishers for men. That's how they had a heart for the lost. They spent time with God. And that's how we will grow in our burden for the lost. This is how we will grow to have the same burden Christ has for those around us. How else will we grow in our burden for those around us? We need to spend time in proximity of the lost or with the lost. Christ set this example. In Matthew 14:14, we read this. As he stepped ashore, he saw the huge crowds, felt compassion on them, and healed their sick. Christ was around the crowds. He was around the people that needed him. And so for us to have compassion for people, we need to be around the lost that need Christ. Luke 7, verse 34 says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Why was he hanging out with sinners and tax collectors like the Jewish leaders didn't expect him to or want him to? Because he had compassion. He wanted to change their lives. He wanted to give them hope. Hope that they weren't finding in this world. Hope that they weren't finding in their drunkenness, hope that they weren't finding in their partying, hopes that they weren't finding in their money. He wanted to give them hope that could only be found in him. And so what is our attitude for the lost? Do we have an attitude of a broken heart for the lost like Christ does because we've spent time with Christ, because we have a heart for the lost and we spent time with the lost around us, getting to know them more and more and more so we have compassion on them? Or do we have a heart like Jonah, who didn't want to see Nineveh turn to life? He didn't want to see them repent. He begrudgingly proclaimed the message, but then got mad at God's mercy towards them. I hope that we will have a heart like Christ. I pray that we will love the dying that are around, living so that they may know Christ. So are we going to respond to these realities? I can close, that's the question. Are we going to respond to the reality that this is the purpose for our life, to bear the image of God in this world so that others may come to know him? Are we going to respond to the reality of God's love and then show that love to those around us? Are we going to respond to the reality of Christ's sacrifice for us? The only way we will receive forgiveness. Are we going to respond to the reality that there are lost all around us that are dying without knowing Christ? And then as a church, start to actually show Christ. Lord, there's a challenge. Many times we don't respond to anything until we're moved by the reality. I mean, that's how we work. And so, Lord, I pray that these realities of your sacrifice, your love, your purpose, your passion will set into our lives, that we will desire to bear your image. And that can only happen through your work. Holy Spirit, work in us to proclaim you to the world, to be image bearers in our families, our friendships, in our workplaces, and around the world, in the way we talk, the way we live, the attitudes we have, the things that we pursue, things that we show that are important, that they will all bear your image. Praise in your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.